Hello, thank you for calling Podcast Phone. For Barely Podcasting, press 1.
Hi, this is Barely from Barely Podcasting Podcast.
Congratulations, you have selected the Barely Podcasting Podcast. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is barely funny.
Blah, blah, blah.
Barely provocative.
Blah, blah, blah.
And barely spontaneous.
So that's what I've been doing at work, trying to match my voice to the sound of the drills and the pressure things and all the gadgets and gadgets.
What? Oh, sorry. Sometimes funny, sometimes provocative. Oh, my bad. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is
sometimes funny. Sometimes provocative.
I like being without any clothes on, first of all.
But don't take my word for it.
This is Eric and Andrea from Let's Get Naughty, and you're listening to Barely Podcasting with your host, Barely.
Hey, Barely. Guess what I'm barely wearing?
The next time you're in the mood for a fun, insightful, and provocative conversation about sex and sexuality, tune in to Let's Get Naughty.
You can find us at www.letsgetnaughtypodcast.com or subscribe to us in iTunes.
And now, your host who's barely just arrived, Barely!
Hi, and welcome to the Barely Podcasting Podcast. This is, of course, Barely. I mean, how else would I be if it were like, yeah, hi, welcome to the Barely Podcasting Podcast. This is Joe. No, I've been doing this now 30 times, so yeah, this is episode number 30, and got a kind of an interesting show kind of lined up for you. I went to the PGA, which is one of those big events with golf. If you don't know golf, it'd still be a funny story, because I was a dork there. Again, where am I not a dork? And also, at the same time, I realized my father's losing his inner monologue. Yeah. That's gone. My wife asked me a weird question in the middle of the night. Also, my block party was this past weekend. Actually, it was yesterday. I'm recording on Sunday, so it was Saturday. And things kind of came out then. It was definitely interesting. Oh, yeah. I get accosted again by a gas station attendant. I swear I'm never going to... If I could get a hydrogen car, I would right now. But anyway, let's get into the show. My father has really gotten into golf after he retired. Usually you see a bunch of businessmen, they get into golf when they're working. My father did it backwards. He really got into golf after he retired, and he complained about golf until then. I don't get it, but when he gets into something, he definitely gets into something. So he goes through and buys these tickets for one of the major events for golf. There's four majors in the year. There's the Masters in April. There's the U.S. Open, I believe it's in June. July, you see the British Open, and in August, you see the PGA. Well, the PGA moves around to different courses all throughout the year. So it's August, it's PGA time, and it's right near where I work. Literally right down the road from where I work. I had to go through that stinking traffic every day while it was here. And it's not just a four-day tournament that you see on TV. No. It's a full week's worth of crap. So I had to deal with traffic, bad traffic, for a week for a four-day event. And two of those days are on the weekend. But I digress. Anyway, my father took me to one of the days. He took me to Saturday, which is the day before everything's done. It's kind of after the field's been cut in half. And we had talked about where we wanted to sit and with the grandstands and everything. Since it's not a sponsored event, anybody can sit anywhere, which was really kind of neat. I mean, you could sit in the best seats in the house and not have to pay extra. You just had to get there really early. Well, we got there early. I had to pick up my father at like 5:15 in the morning, which meant I had to leave at 4:30 in the morning to be at the place where we could park the car by 6 to get in by 6:30. Well, to do this, I had to pick up my father. Like I said, I'm repeating myself now. But I pick up my father, and we're driving along. And you know when it's really early in the morning, folks, and you're just tired. You're just really tired, but you're going to something, so it's like, okay, I'm just going to be quiet. I just want quiet. I want controlled audio, in essence. I'll either put on the radio or, in my opinion, I just put on podcasts. And I'll listen to those. It's controlled. It's nothing I have to interact with. Well, I pick up my father, and he just talked the whole way. The whole stinking way. He's just, blah, 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 blah. That's really what was coming into my ears. And my inner monologue is just going, shut up, 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 the whole time. I mean, it was, ugh. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love my father and everything, but he's losing his inner monologue because it got worse. My father is in his early to mid-60s. He is retired, and my aunt and uncle live in town as well. Well, my aunt and uncle, they keep up with pop culture a lot more than my parents do. And my aunt and uncle had gotten tickets to see American Idol. Yes, you know, all that teeny bopper stuff that the only time I ever watch American Idol is when they're showing, like, the bad people. And then once it's always the bad people. It's like, I know I can sing, and that person doesn't know what he's talking about. Trust me, folks, I heard that coming out of last season's Chicago edition, and it was a white girl. It was a white girl from the cornfields, literally the cornfields. I know people who live in the same town, and they do not sound like that. But there was a girl who sounded like that from that town complaining to Simon Cowell about how bad she sung, and she stunk. Oh, boy. Anyway, I digress. So my father is going to a concert with my aunt and uncle and my mother, and they all drove up separately because we were at the PGA watching golf. I get a call. We get to the car after the day is over. It took us a while to get to the car because when you have like 40 to... No, I think there's about 100,000 people in this area. It takes a while to get them all out. And when pretty much everybody parks in the same spot and they have shuttle buses moving all the time, well, that's just one thing that takes a while to get people out of. Anyway, I digress again, but we get into the car. I call my mother because my dad didn't bring his cell phone to try to say, look, we're on our way. My mother calls back and I'm talking with her and just pretty much yelling the whole time. She can't hear me. I can't hear her because she's yelling too loud. And then I hang up and my father's like, wow, yelling a lot into the phone might have been quieter if you didn't. I'm like, don't say that, Dad. My father is one who yells into a cell phone for no reason. That's just the way he talks. But as we're getting closer to the arena that it's at, it was at the Allstate Arena, which is right near O'Hare Airport. There's construction going on up there, and there's also, with O'Hare, you can't do as many exits and entrances and everything. I think I had it figured out the way I was going to go, but it was wrong. But here's my father going up. Oh, look, pet grooming. Oh, look over here. You could get insurance from blah, blah, blah. And every sign we're driving by, he's reading and then making a comment on it. We get close to it. He's like, oh, we're pretty close. Hey, look, there's a sign that says construction for 2 miles. Oh, the exit's in a mile and a half. And I'm the driver. It's like, yes, Dad, I know. I drive every day. I kind of know how to read the signs. So, again, in the back of my mind, I'm hearing, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Well, we pull up to the Allstate Arena. Since I'm just dropping them off, I'm looking for drop-off signs. I mean, this is a concert that primarily is going to be attended by teeny boppers. Probably half of them do not have driver's license or even a driver's permit. So they're going to have to be dropped off by mom and dad. So I figured, okay, there has to be prominent drop-off. I drive up. I see the signs. I drive up and I see a security guard. And I'm like, okay, he's kind of directing traffic. I know what's going on. I'm going to go ask him. So I pull up. I roll the window down and I don't know about you folks, but everyone I've talked to and all of my experiences, when the driver pulls up and is asking someone a question, it's the driver who asks. I lean over and I'm saying, so I'm dropping someone off for the show tonight. Where do I go? Well, my father at the same time leans over the center console and is like, I'm being dropped off. Where do I go? the guy looks at me and he kind of gives me the look like, are you serious? It's that guy who's being dropped off? You're not being dropped off? And he just kind of gives me that nod like, I am so sorry you had to deal with that in the car for a while. So he kind of points me where I'm going. I drive up, I drop my dad off, and I go home. But, oh, geez. Yeah, my father's losing his inner monologue. He's getting old. God, I hope it doesn't happen to me. It's only 30 years for me, I think, folks. And so hopefully by that time I'll have a podcast still going that is my inner monologue, that I could just use it as my inner monologue so I don't have to embarrass anybody by losing my inner monologue. Well, as I just alluded to, I went to the PGA, which is one of the big events, blah, blah, blah. My father and I get seats, and we got really good seats. We were right at near the 16th hole, near the grandstand, so we really great seats. I got to see the approach on 16, got to see all of 17. Really, really great seats. And again, it was just the price for admission. Didn't have to pay any extra. I was literally the first person into the golf course. There's one entrance. I was the first one in. I know it because I saw no one ahead of me when I was walking around. We get over to the place that we're going to be sitting for the most of the day. Find the perfect spot where we could see all of the 17th hole, which is a short little hole, so you could see the whole thing. And oh, it was good seats. We definitely did get good seats on this one. But since being there so early, you get to know the people around you. And they weren't doing kind of a staggered start where they'd start half the group on the first hole, half group on the 10th hole. They started everyone on the first hole. I'm at 16. I'm two holes away from the last hole. Usually it takes about 4 hours for a round of golf. I also get to my seats an hour and a half before the first tee off. So we're looking at roughly 6 hours before people are coming to me. And people are also coming into the grandstand and sitting near us. They're like, oh, yeah, you definitely got the best seat here, so I'm going to get the second best, or I'm getting the third best, or blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So we're sitting there, and we get to know the people all around us. You have 6 hours of no one coming. Then you have probably another 3 hours of people who, like, suck coming up. Because they always go from the worst person to the best person from the previous day's rankings. So I'm having to sit through all these sucky people as well, that people I've never heard of, and so you begin to talk with people. Well, there's this one player who is really doing a great charge that day, and what I mean by that is he was really doing well. He was making good shots, he was moving up in the rankings, so the next day he could potentially be in the lead or very close to the lead. His name's Chris DeMarco. If you're a golfer, you might have heard of him every now and then. But, yeah, Chris DeMarco, he does his approach, comes up, and at the same time, I'm a fan of Phil Mickelson. He's a lefty. I'm a lefty. I think that's just kind of why I like him. He also seems kind of aloof, and I'm a dork, so I think the two kind of go hand in hand a little bit. I thought I saw him coming up on one of the other holes that we can see. And so what happens is when someone's putting, everyone's supposed to be quiet. And they have these people who are on the inside of the barriers. They put their hands up. And you're supposed to do it all the way around the putting area. Well, I'm talking to someone on my left. And I'm keeping an eye on the marshals that are on the left side of the green. Well, they weren't doing anything. The only marshals that were making any indication that someone was putting were on the right, which, in essence, are to my back at this point. So I'm talking with the person, I'm like, yeah, I thought I just saw Phil already putt and blah, 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 blah. Well, needless to say, as I'm saying that, and I'm saying it a little bit loud because all of a sudden I hear someone yell, shut up! It was DeMarco's caddy. And DeMarco, I mean, he's giving me an evil glare, and I'm kind of sitting there, and where I was sitting was extremely obvious because I had I'm at the last row. Right above the stairs. So it's just a straight look up to me. I'm the only person, and I'm kind of sitting there like, oop, sorry. Needless to say, he made a good putt, but still, I get yelled at by a professional sports athlete, kind of, so to speak, and I should have followed him the rest because he kind of sucked after he came by us, but he did really good on our hole. So anyway, yeah, I got yelled at by a caddy, and I didn't get kicked out. So yay. At least I didn't get kicked out for being a dork.
Not a super sale, just another lonely tale, as he thinks what could have been if he could just get out of jail. It's been so long.
Well, folks, I believe I've told you before that I do my own laundry. My wife does kind of the house laundry. She also does the little girl's laundry. I do my own. And I was doing mine today, and my wife had told me a little while back that she had gotten some new fabric softener, I think it was. She wanted to try something new, something cheaper. And for a lot of my work stuff, I can't put fabric softener on it. Just some of the shirts, it will destroy them. And they're freebies I got that are pretty expensive if I tried to replace them. So I'm not going to try to replace them. I'm going to follow the instructions to a T. So, this is the first time I've used this new fabric softener that my wife got. And trying to figure out, is this fabric softener or is it not, took me 5 minutes. It's in Spanish. I work and live in the Chicagoland area. We're nowhere near Mexico. We're sure as hell nowhere near Spain. Why is this fully in Spanish? My wife doesn't speak Spanish, so I know she wouldn't be going into a Spanish supermarket either. But alas, it is. I don't get it. I don't know why it's like this, but it is. So, if you're going to sell something in America, please make it in English. Otherwise, I have no clue. It took me about 5 minutes to be able to translate fabric softener, which is actually fabric conditioner. But, oh, I can't win on that one, can I, folks? My wife keeps telling me that she thinks that I talk in my sleep. Well, I disagree with this, but I support the fact that she does. The reason why I say this is the other night, my wife, well, it was actually kind of early in the morning, maybe about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. My wife usually has me kind of rub her back very gently with a comb. We call it the tickle comb. She likes to call it being tickled. Not the kind of ha-ha-ha-ha-ha tickle that I think is funny. It's more just something soothing for her and all that, blah, blah, blah. I did it once when we were dating, and I've never been able to live that down. So, needless to say, I keep doing it now, 7 years later. But the other night, it was about 2 a.m, and she looks at me and says, I want the tickle comb. I'm like, I don't know where it is. And she's like, it's over there. And she keeps pointing to a place that I have no clue where she's referring to, but yet at the same time, her story begins to change. And somehow it wound up being going from the tickle comb, and it somehow turned into the orange thing to help you puke. I kid you not, folks, she looked at me at one point and said, I want the orange thing that helps you puke. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, the orange thing that helps you puke, it's right over there. Honestly, I have no clue what she was referring to. In our bedroom, we don't have anything orange. The closest thing that we have to something orange is if I have a shirt that's in the laundry that's orange. I don't know how that would help her puke, folks, but somehow she wanted the orange thing that helps her puke. I have no clue. I'm still clueless on this one. What is this orange thing that can help you puke? I don't know. Help me out with this, please. I don't know what an orange thing is to help you puke.
Got a super sale, just another lonely tale, as you think so could have been, if you could just get off this shit. It's been so long, went to right in the wrongs, but the war is over, and now they know that you're ever...
Well, it happened to me again, folks. I went back to that one gas station. I know I've mentioned this a few times. But the one gas station where the guy always seems to give me crap about not having the back of my card signed, blah, 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 blah. Well, this time he just went over the line. I'm not going back there again. And the reason why, I got up maybe about 10 minutes late, so I'm already running 10 minutes behind schedule. And there's a massive storm coming through from southern Illinois that hits our area. I pull into this gas station. It's my last gas station before I go into the next county, which everything's more expensive in the next county, so I don't want to spend money in the next county. So I pull into the gas station, and the outside card reader is broken. Well, okay, fine. I'll have to go in. Didn't see the guy, so I'm like, woohoo! Lucky day! I don't have to deal with this guy. I'm lucky. Halfway through pumping up the gas, the guy shows up. I don't know where he was. I don't know if he was in the back or what, but he just showed up and happened to be the person who was taking my credit card, my debit card, and doing all the stuff that the gas station people do, you know, kind of run it and all that. Well, he tells me my card's declined. Well, that was impossible because it was the day after I got paid. So I know I have money sitting in there. We haven't spent it on bills yet, so it still has to be sitting in there. He runs it three times. I actually call the bank while he's doing this, and I see how much money I have in there. I have a lot of money. That's fully available. And I finally say, well, let's go to another register. And he was very begrudgingly. He's like, you cannot leave. You cannot do anything. You have to stay on premises until you pay for the gas you've already pumped. And wouldn't really let me go anywhere. I had to call my wife and say, look, you might have to come over and pick me up because this jerk won't do anything. Finally, I get him to hand the card over to someone else. And guess what, folks? First run through, boom, it worked. So it's this guy. He's doing this to me on purpose. I'm not going to this gas station anymore. It's just miserable. I refuse to go there anymore. Over the weekend, our block had a block party. We're a new community, so pretty much you're still talking with all the original owners of all the houses. There's been a little bit of change here and there, but not too much. We all kind of know each other somewhat, and we decided that we're having a block party every year. Well, it was this past weekend, and the people who organized the block party got the fire department to come over and bring out the fire trucks. Really kind of cool. I wanted to hop in and just kind of start playing with all the buttons and make the sirens go and all that kind of fun stuff, but alas, they wouldn't let me. I was too old. But what they did, and this was really cool. I wish I was a bit younger and actually willing to get wet. But what they did is they came over and put a nozzle on to the ladder hose, which is right at the end of the ladder, and they kind of moved it out, and all of a sudden they say, okay, anyone who wants to get wet, stand over here. Well, what this nozzle is in a fire, it's something that they could put down into a chimney if it's a chimney fire. Or what they could also do is in an attic fire, they'd find a hole and just drop this nozzle in. And what it does is it just sprays water everywhere. It's not a concentrated stream. It's a spinning nozzle, which will just spray a lot of water everywhere really quick. It'll douse the whole area. Well, the kids all get under it. I ask my little girl, I'm like, Do you want to play in the water? She's like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, go over to where all the other kids are. And she's walking over. And again, she's two. So she doesn't move as fast as some of the big kids did. But the second they turn it on, she gets hit with two drops of water. I kid you not, folks. Two drops of water. And all of a sudden just busts out crying, screaming for daddy. Daddy, daddy. She's running back, and a bunch of the other parents are just kind of laughing at it. And I pick her up, and she is sobbing. I mean, she is terrified. I'm like, honey, that was just water. That's like from the shower. She's like, no water, no water. So, needless to say, she got three drops of water on her, and that was it. That was how wet she wanted to get at that point. While the firemen were still there and they still had this nozzle on, my daughter decides she wants to play in the water that's running into the gutters. I mean, it's a lot of water. It's pumping out a lot of water, folks. I mean, it the water isn't just kind of trickling in. There's a nice flow flowing through the gutters and just getting everything wet. And my daughter decides she wants to play in this. Well, she has some nice sandals on. So, but yet at the same time, I don't want her taking her sandals off because you don't know what's in the street. I've never really seen a street cleaner come through. I'm not saying that they don't, but you just never know. And also, since there still is a little bit of construction here and there, you never know. There could be a nail on the ground. So I wasn't letting her take her sandals off. But she seemed to think, okay, these are my sandals. I need to take them off so I can play in the water. So she sits down right in the middle of all the water and is trying to take her sandals off. I'm like, no, honey, don't take them off. She's like, Daddy, sandal off. I'm like, no, leave your sandals on. No, sandal off. So finally I say, if you try to take your sandals off again, Daddy's picking you up and you can't play in the water. Well, she continued to try to take her sandals off. So I pick her up. And she starts bawling, and then she looks at me, stops crying, and with a real mean look in her face, she's like, and she points and kind of pointing at me, but yet still pokes me in the cheek and says, Daddy, time out. I'm like, excuse me? She's like, Daddy, time out. Not nice. It's all I can do, folks, to keep from laughing. She looks so cute doing this, but yet at the same time, I cannot look like I'm caving in because then she'll be doing this anytime I try to scold her. But yes, folks, I got put into a timeout because I wouldn't let her take her shoes off and play in the water. I let her play in the water with the sandals on, but not with them off, and I get a timeout for it. I guess I don't play nice. Barely's time in Japan. No wonder they call us ugly Americans. Ah, yes, folks, you know that music means time for the belly in Japan. And that's my Japanese accent. I had 4 years to really perfect it, and now another, 16 years to try to destroy it. Actually, what I'm going to talk about today is when I first went out to the school I went to for 4 years. The school was called the American School in Japan. It's actually a chain of schools around the world. And it's the American school in London, the American school in Switzerland. I know there's one in Berlin. But it's a chain of schools, really high-end schooling and all this, blah, blah, blah. But the first time I went out there, we had to take the train out because we didn't have a car yet. And we took the train out. And going from where we were at the time to out to the school took about an hour and a half to 2 hours on the train. And that was, I think we even caught one express train. But we would also go through what is the busiest train station in the world. And if I'm going to be taking the train to school, I have to do that at rush hour. Where you're looking at, what was this? I'm trying to remember the statistic, folks. It was something like 4 to 5 million people go through this train station every day. So it's very, very crowded, and it's one of the few places that if you've ever seen a shot of conductors cramming people onto trains, this is one of those stations that would actually have to do it. So it was kind of one of those things. We didn't do it at rush hour, but it was still kind of daunting just kind of looking around, and it was a big train station, but yet it would fill up with people like you wouldn't believe. But then we take a train into that station and then transfer to another train and take it out away from Tokyo. And the school I went to was on the outskirts of Tokyo. It was pretty far away. And when I say the outskirts, I literally mean the outskirts. We were probably right at the edge of Tokyo itself. Tokyo is a very, very large city. I'm almost thinking it could be twice the size of LA, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that one, folks, but I think that's roughly the size. Definitely much larger than any normal city here in America. You could look at it, I believe, as maybe a little bit larger than Chicagoland with all of the suburbs combined, going from the Wisconsin border to the Indiana border, out to Joliet, south to Kankakee. If you've seen a map, that's a pretty large area. Just kind of getting an idea and kind of making a loop also going up to Rockford, Illinois. Using all of that land, and that's the city. But we get out to the outskirts and get off the, we get off that train, have to hop onto a third, which gets us really close to the school. Fortunately, all the train stations are bilingual. They will have the Japanese version of whatever, or the Japanese label, I guess you would say, of the train station. And then right underneath it would be an English translation of it. So you kind of always knew where you were at. But I went through, and we, my sister and myself, who were both going to be attending the school was K through 12. Each class had about 120 students. So, I mean, it was a small class comparative. I'm sure most of the people out there went to high school with, I think when I graduated from high school back here in the States, I had like 600 people in my graduating class, whereas if I had graduated from Japan, it would have been about 127. So, I mean, that's a big difference between the two. But also the same kids, I mean, you went through with the same ratio of kids the whole way through. So there were 127 in first grade to 127 in their senior year. But we get out to the school, and it's in this little Japanese neighborhood, which was very un-Japanese-like because people had land out there because it was, like I said, the outskirts. People didn't want to live this far away. If you were out there, you were out there for a reason. But the school was also out there next to this huge park that looked like a golf course. And I found out later that one time it was a golf course after it was an Air Force base. Yes, folks, that's right. My school used to be an Air Force base for the Japanese. But I didn't really think anything of it at the time. Get out there, talk with the administrators and everything. And you know, it was a private school that we had to go to because there were no other American schools in the area. There were a couple others, but this was the first choice, and my dad's company somehow finagled it so that I could get in. I wasn't all that great of a student, but it was still, I still somehow got in and made it through 4 years there. But I later found out that the football field that I played football on, that all the elementary school kids had their recess on, used to be the bomb installation part of this Japanese military base. And there was more than one instance where we had a bomb scare at school because, well, they would say that there was still a bomb left over from World War II, so we would have to evacuate the whole school, but yet we couldn't go too far. They wouldn't let us just go home, unfortunately. But we would kind of just hang out and we'd be in the neighborhood and it's just like, okay, this kind of sucks. We're stuck here. We really can't go anywhere. And they're not letting us go too far. This sucks. Of course, that's truly a mind of a student, isn't it, folks? It's just, I don't want to be at school, so this sucks. But that was my school. It was a very Americanized school. The Japanese, on the other hand, they went to school from April to March. 11 months of school. And this was all the way up through university schools and everything. But they would also get breaks here and there. I think they had like a 6-week break in the summer, which was all scattered around. But it was really interesting, though, whereas an American school, each school kind of does its own thing in its own way. A Japanese school is very rigidly structured, where the school will be teaching the same thing all over the country. So you couldn't just be like, oh, yeah, I never learned that in my old school. Because they learned it just when you learned it, too. Thank God I didn't have to go to a Japanese school. I would have been so screwed. But yeah, folks, that was my first experience getting out to my school and back. It took a full day to do the whole thing. Of course, I got used to it later, but still, I mean, your first time out there and you're really, and I'm thinking I'm in the suburbs. Boy, was I wrong. Oh, one other thing about the school I went to. The Japanese cremate pretty much everyone when they die. Only very, very special people don't have to be because land is so scarce out there. They would cremate everybody. Well, every so often there'd be like plumes of smoke from a smokestack that was near the school. And I was always thinking, it's probably just some manufacturing or they're burning something. Yeah, they were burning something, people. There was a crematorium really close to where I went to school, and occasionally the smoke would waft over the school. Yeah, you could always say, well, what's for lunch? I don't know, it sounds like Fred. Or should I say smells like Fred? Oh, that's bad. Bad jokes, but hey, I'm full of it. Okay, that's going to wrap up this part of me in Japan. Okay, folks, it's time for my review, and I've been thinking through my review on who I wanted to do this week, and it's actually a podcast that I found recently because they said they were listening to me, so I kind of figured I'd give them a listen. I really enjoy it. It is a fun podcast to listen to. It's the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast. It's, if you kind of recognize the title, it's a takeoff a little bit of a Star Trek theme. Yes, folks, these people are Star Trek geeks. Of course, I'm a Star Trek geek, too, so... no offense. But they like Star Trek, and they'll start off every episode. And what they're doing is they're watching all the original episodes from in production date, from the beginning to the end. And then they do kind of a little skit on it, and then kind of go way off of there. I mean, it's not all Trekkie stuff or anything, but it's kind of interesting to kind of see a normal person's view of what these shows were kind of all about. Namely, 30 to 40 years after the fact. But they'll go through and kind of explain a little bit about the episode that they watched, where their little skit came from, and then go into kind of their everyday lives, as well as they will also talk about food stuff, and they make fun of me a lot for some reason. And their name, the people who host it, is Dan and CJ, a married couple. So, Dan, why are you making fun of me? I think it's just the laugh. But I seriously, folks, these guys are really a lot of fun to listen to. They really enjoy doing the podcast. And you can really tell. I mean, just the whole way the whole show comes out is just a lot of fun. They poke fun at other podcasters, all in good nature. Of course, I also call in every so often and give them material to make fun of me about. So I don't know. It's just kind of funny. But also, there's a very good chemistry in the way they communicate with each other, as well as the way they really enjoy each other's company as well as doing the podcast together. I would really put them in the same class as Bucket in the way that they've kind of created segments and everything. But also they make you think very much like Gabberjaw did. Those are two other couple casts that I've done, that I've reviewed, that you should go back and check out. I have a whole list on the side of my website of everyone I've reviewed. But yeah. Check out the Love, Long, and Prosper, not Live, Long, and Prosper, which is, I think, Spock's. Yeah, that's Spock's and the Vulcan phrase with the V fingers and everything, which I'm doing right now because I'm a Star Trek geek. And here's a little bit of trivia, since it goes in with the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast. The last episode of Star Trek, the original episode, the original series, I'm not sure on the year, but the date that it aired was April 7th. I don't remember the year, but it was before I was born. Just a few years before I was born, because I was born on April 7th. So that's my little pathetic tie-in to Star Trek trivia. So if anyone ever asks you, yeah, that's the day that the last Star Trek episode ever aired. The original one, at least. Okay, so I'm going to be quiet now. But check out Dan and CJ at the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast. They are at www.lovelongandprosper.com. And if you're a first-time listener, send them an email. Say that you're a first-time listener and the Barely Podcasting Podcast sent you over. Super
is another lonely tale, as he thinks who could have been if he could just get all this deal. It's been no so long.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up here really quick, folks. I have only one piece of feedback this week. It is from Dan from Life on Tap. So let's listen to Dan's comment.
Hey, Barely, this is Dan on Tap of Life on Tap. Just wanted to call in and say congratulations on your lucky 29th show, and I'm glad that now we finally know the answer to the mystery behind number 29 for you. And, of course, we'll be anxiously awaiting your 30th show as well. Also wanted to say it's going to be interesting to hear when your daughter grows even older, when she really starts getting her shop on, so to speak. But as far as ripping your pants at work, I actually have a funny story about that. It was I was probably within my first year at my current company I was with, and I, you know, there was always that one thread, you know, the one thread, you know, you just want to rip off because it's sticking out there and it's annoying, and I did that, and then a second later I looked down, and the entire crease of my pants had like complete rips. So like my entire leg was exposed, and boxers included. So it was a pretty wild, crazy thing. So that's, at that point I had to go home. I was like 25 minutes, half an hour away from home, but I had to go home anyway. So I just want to know that, you know, it is pretty embarrassing to rip and or tear in or do anything to your pants that would potentially expose you. So I had to safety pin them actually at the time for temporarily. It's pretty embarrassing, but I totally feel your pain there. But and Jabba Red, yeah, I've been there too. I've got another couple of million people in my office, so to speak. So, but keep up the great work, and I look forward to episode 30. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Dan, thanks for the voicemail there. And I do have to say, if you're going to pull a thread, use scissors. Gets it really close so you don't have to do that trip home. I do have a pair of scissors that I have done that on an occasional shirt or... Yeah, it's only been shirts that I've had to do it on. But, yeah, so I have a pair of scissors that I do that with. I'm glad someone else out there understands Jabba Red. Because, folks, aren't we all in this together? Don't we all have the same issues? Don't we all have the same wants and needs? And why do I sound like I'm running for office? I don't know, but hey, I'm just having fun here. So anyway, I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the show today. And feel free to get in touch with me. There's many different ways. I love hearing the feedback. You can be like Dan from Life on Tap and give me a voicemail, which is at 206-984-DORK. Yes, folks, I'm a dork, and now my voicemail even confirms that. Again, that is 206-984-DORK, or if you can't spell the D-O-R-K part, it's 3675. But yeah, leave me a voicemail. You can also drop me an email at barely@barelypodcasting.com. Or, if you want to, go over to the website at www.barelypodcasting.com and leave me my Chingo message, which has actually been very quiet lately. So come on, folks, someone leave me my Chingo this week. Also, there's the shout box where you can type a message to me at any time. I do try to check it frequently throughout the day, so hopefully I will get back to you really quick. And you can also leave a comment on any show. So yeah, go ahead, leave me a message any way possible. I would definitely appreciate it. And the music you've been listening to is from a band I found out about from Corby at the Twisted Pickle. The band's name is Killola, K-I-L-L-O-L-A. And you could check out this song, Appetite, at the PodSafe Music, or the PodSafe Music Network. Yeah, that's it. At music.podshow.com. But hey, they put out some really cool songs. So go over to iTunes, type in Killola, and buy the album. I already have. So I'm trying to get in touch with the band to see if I can play more stuff. Because I mean, it rocks. I just love this band. So, and Lisa, the lead singer, she's like hot. So anyway, that's it for me. I am signing off. I will see you all next week. And until then, have a good week. Thank you. hell can I do any work with this?